Welcome to episode 239 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. As many of you know, around this time of year, a wide variety of natural spaces across the country are transformed into wonderful displays of colour thanks to the flowering of bluebells. Well, towards the end of last week, I headed out to capture the scenery in one of the ancient woodlands near me. Partway through the day, I stopped for some lunch and sat down to share a few thoughts about the process. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 239. It is just after 3:20 on a Thursday afternoon, and as I sit here recording this, I have a rather lovely office space. And that's because my office today is woodland. And the reason I'm out here is, well, three things. One, to shoot a small film. Two, to shoot some stills. And three, to make this recording. And I've just had some lunch. So I thought I would take the opportunity, whilst I'm sat down leaning against a tree, to share a few thoughts with you. So we'll get to the specifics in a minute, but first of all, a lot of you will know that I have mentioned that I want to be shooting more video this year, whether that's for clients or whether that's for myself, promotional stuff, as in not of me, but I don't know what you call it, whether you call it almost like featurette type, just very short, maybe 3 minute long, sort of nice little mini films that maybe have either a voiceover or have music over the top, or, you know, that sort of thing, based around the outdoors and, you know, whether it's down by the water or through woodland or hillsides or all this sort of thing. And other stuff as well, but it's early days. But the reason I'm out in these woods now is that, of course, it is bluebell season. And if I'm honest, I've left it a little bit too late. I probably should have come here a couple of weeks ago when the bluebells were at their best. They're not completely over, but they're just starting to go now. But unfortunately, I had other commitments, other things that kept me away from here. But it's not all doom and gloom, and I'll explain why in a moment. So I have got a very simple setup, and just to let you know, I'll tell you that now. And that, with that information, you'll hopefully get a good idea of how I'm shooting and how I'm creating variation in the footage I'm creating. So it's a very simple one camera setup. I've got my Nikon D800 and I've got three lenses. I've got a 24-85mm macro, an old lens, but very sharp still, for close-up stuff. So if we've got bluebells and details and all that sort of thing, really good. I've also got my 24-70 f/2.8, which is a lovely lens that's kind of used most of the time, and then I've got my 80-200 f/2.8, which is really nice for those sort of long lens shots, looking into the deeper undergrowth, sort of shooting across a blanket of bluebells, all that sort of thing. The camera is being supported on a Manfrotto B3 carbon tripod, nice lightweight compact design. I'm also testing out, Manfrotto sent me for test review their B3 Live video head. It's a fluid drag system is what they call it. It allows you to sort of pan and tilt and all that sort of thing. First time I've properly been using it. Pretty good, quite like it. There are a couple of things which I'm, well, I need to play with it to just see whether what I'm thinking is kind of justified. But then, you know, this is this is what happens with test review. It's a purely objective experience of these products. And all of this is contained in my low pro flip side trek. Oh, I always forget exactly how they phrase it. Let's have a look. It's a low pro flip side trek BP450AW and breathe backpack. Really nice. That's the one that's on review. A lot of you will know, and the write up will be coming soon. Really comfortable, really happy with it. Nothing that's really stood out as being a problem or something that I think is a shortcoming or anything like that. Other items I've got with me, I brought walking poles and a tarp just in case I wanted to set up some shelter at lunchtime. It's a lovely, well, it's overcast and sunny spells today. But I've left that in the bag. I didn't need that. Like I said, I've just put a ground sheet down on the floor and sat up against a tree. So I said that I'm a little bit late to the party for the bluebells this year. Now, there are two ways that you could take this. One, you just think, well, I've missed it. You know, they're past their prime. It's not worth photographing them, not worth doing anything with them. Or you think, well, how do I get around this? If you're just shooting wide shots and the bluebells are not that individually visible, you probably get away with it. People think, wow, look at that lovely, all those bluebells, lovely, all the rest of it. I'm kind of taking a slightly different angle on it because I like to try something a bit different. And in the back of my mind, this film is now talking about sort of the last, almost the last good few days of bluebells. So they're just going over. It's kind of a, it's not a sad feeling to the to the film by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, it's just going to have some nice gentle music over the top. But it's kind of I guess going to be sort of quite a sort of a pensive little film that just, you know, it's kind of exploring the fact that, you know, they are still beautiful, it still is a lovely woodland, but it's just that final kind of bowing out, if you like, of the bluebells. A little bit romantic, a little bit la-di-da, call it what you will. I am working with what I've got. If I was to try and shoot or film these bluebells up close, I know they're not at their best now, and other people would look at them and I'd probably get a load of comments, people saying, oh, you know, you should have been there earlier, and you know, why are you photographing them when they're looking not their best and all the rest of it. So this is just a way round, and like I say, I like to try different things. This is only for me, it's not for a client or anything like that. So that's the film stuff that I've been dealing with, and I'm still going to carry on this afternoon. I've got maybe a couple of hours to go. Now, when it comes to the stills, like I say, there's really nothing worth me shooting in terms of bluebell sort of carpeted woodland floor, that sort of thing. I've got stacks of those pictures that I've shot in previous years, you know, nice paths going off into, you know, twisting in and out round the trees, and I don't need to shoot any more of that. Maybe next year I will, just to update my file. Some would say you should do it every year, but you know, do I have the need for so many pictures of basically the same thing? There we go. But the stills that I'm shooting are, well, I put forward an idea for a feature, and I'm not going to mention the magazine or the client, the outlet, at this point, because it's kind of, although the idea was put out there quite early on, they've not got back to me, and you know, it does happen, and you kind of send emails, you wait to hear, and I did make a point of saying, look, the bluebells are going to be going before long. If you want me to do this, I'm going to be shooting fresh to get these particular shots because there's a particular angle on this, and I haven't heard. So the chances are that little feature won't be happening. So I'm not too worried about these pictures. Now, like I say, this proposed feature was something slightly different. And as I said, I've got lots of the pictures that are, you know, here is a lovely bluebell woodland scene. Very typical. But this feature proposed was a different take on it. And I think I suggested three ways that you might shoot to do things a little bit different. Now, I had a couple of ideas which probably won't work out because the bluebells are sort of on their way. But one of the ideas is to experiment with movement in the frame, whether that's movement of the bluebells and foliage themselves, so the camera is bolted solid on the tripod, or if not, it might be that there is actual movement with the camera. And we're not talking about the sort of movement which is just the result of camera shake or knocking a tripod, of course. We're talking about very deliberate movement. So the obvious thing that you can do is either pan the camera vertically, horizontally, if you have you know, the sort of the right tripod head, something like the one I'm using, you can, if you're clever, do like a diagonal type pan. It's a bit like when you're photographing cars or motorsports, you know, follow the action, and the background, with a slow enough shutter speed, the background is blurred, but the car is lovely and sharp. Well, of course, with this, everything in frame would be reduced to just streaks of colour, and that's the point. The other way you can do it is to zoom the lens, like a burst effect, almost like a starburst effect. You zoom the lens in or out during the exposure. I am just working with existing light. With that particular technique, you can use flash. So you fire a little burst of fill-in flash, so something that's not necessarily full power, maybe a quarter power or half power if you want a more pronounced effect. And what happens when you're using a slow shutter speed, the flash freezes the subject, in this case the bluebells, but the longer exposure records some movement. So you would have the bluebells nice and sharp, but then, you know, a bit of blur movement around them. But like I said, I'm not doing that because I haven't got my flash with me. So that is really my approach today. I have no set like with the filming, I don't have a set storyboard or shot list, anything like that. I'm just walking through, seeing what takes me. I know pretty well what's going to be in this woodland because I know it well. I've been here lots of times. And sometimes it's nice to just explore. Like, for example, I was thinking to myself, right, I need to sit down and have some lunch. And I was walking along, and just when I was thinking, not to pack my camera and everything away, but just to kind of put it over my shoulder or what have you, I just sort of turn a corner or look across, and there's a really nice, just the way that the light is striking the leaves or something like that. This is what happens. You kind of get inspired as you go along. And that's kind of the way that I'm happy to take it today. What else can I tell you? Oh yes, so here's a bit of an update for you. A lot of you know that I use Twitter a lot. A lot of you know that I use Instagram more and more. And most days I post one or two pictures on there. You know that I also shoot video for the YouTube channel, and some of those short videos are shared on through Twitter and Instagram as well. And of course they end up on the Active Photographer website. I have been toying with the idea of jumping on board with the Instagram stories thing with the live video. So Of course, some of you will have seen this already, so it'll be old news. But today, as I've been going along at a number of occasions, I have recorded a little bit of video and shared that to Instagram. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's something I don't know why I didn't do it sooner. It's not that I don't know. I kind of, when I do it, a bit like with the still pictures that I share, there has to be a purpose. I'm not just going to put random stuff like, oh, here's the sandwich, and oh, look, there's a bite taken out of it. Nothing like that. It's stuff that is hopefully of interest and use to the people that follow what I do, you guys. So, you know, I started off by saying, you know, here's my setup, here's my cameras I'm using. And then when I stopped for lunch, I said, oh, this is, you know, this is a setup that I'm, you know, a lot of people that follow what I do want to know about the outdoors kit that I use. So I showed them very briefly, showed them the stove and the, you know, my setup for that. The biggest thing that had been on my agenda today for all that sort of stuff was to do my first Instagram live. And as I sit here, I'm just going to have a look at my phone. It is saying 12%. And my phone is, I think it needs a bit of an upgrade of the platform, the software, what have you, because when it gets to about 30%, sometimes I'll go to take a picture, or it'll take the picture, and then all of a sudden it'll just power down, and unless I plug it in, I often can't get it to switch back on again. So I did jump onto Instagram live very quickly, but I did make a point of saying, okay, the power might go at any minute. And I like to have my phone, you know, powered up just in case I get a call if there's an emergency or if I'm needed or anything like that. So lesson learnt, it appears that certainly on my phone at the moment, if I'm going to do Instagram live or Instagram videos, I need to make sure either my battery is properly powered up, and it was at, I think, 79 or 80% when I started, and almost immediately it dropped down to, like, in no time, to like 60%. And I haven't been doing loads of social media or checking emails and all that sort of thing, so it has to be just that app that's drawing all that power, I guess. Maybe you guys know more specifically or differently, and I'm open to suggestions here. So yes, so for future reference, it's my intention to put a shout out onto Twitter. And if I'd known that battery wasn't going to be an issue, I would have probably put something out on Facebook as well, just to let people know. But I will definitely make sure that there's more charge in the battery. But I'm going to get into the habit of bringing some form of charger with me on location. So I don't have one of those which is like these ones which is basically enough power to give one full charge of your phone. You just plug it in and away you go. What I do have is the Power Traveler Power Monkey Extreme solar panel, which once the actual battery is charged up, either from the mains or from the sun, it's good to go. You get a lot of multiple charges and what have you out of that, so that's really good. So I will definitely be bringing that. In terms of power, just to give you some idea, my D800 here, let's have a look, battery info, it was at 100% because I charged it up last night, and from shooting from about, I guess, around about 11 o'clock until about 2:45, something like that, I'm down to 30% on that battery. I do have a spare battery as well. I think one is going to be enough, to be honest. I don't think I've got loads more to film or shoot. But yeah, so kind of mixed fortunes, really. It's a real shame with the Instagram thing. I might as I record this, I might have another bash just as I'm about to head off or head back to the car, because if the car's just around the corner, I can plug the phone in shortly afterwards and that'll all be good. That is pretty much it. Just to... So there's a kind of bit of an overview. In terms of specifics of the sort of shots that I'm doing, you know, I have been shooting. I'm going to stick specifically now to the short film. I have done some wider shots, but it's important with all of these to get like cutaway shots, detail shots. If I'm doing a slightly wider shot, I will then zoom in or sort of move closer to fill the frame with a detail and record that. So it gives me the option to have like an establishing shot and then more of a detail shot. The height of the camera position, it's important to change that around just to add a bit of dynamic kind of, not dynamic range, but sort of to throw things around a little bit. You know, I've done some stuff which is sort of just below head height, some which is maybe sort of waist or just below, and then other stuff which is maybe, I don't know, sort of a couple of feet off the ground. So, you know, just mixing it up. I don't honestly know how many minutes of footage I have recorded up to this point. What I tend to do is to record in 10 to 15 second bursts of footage. That then usually gives me plenty to work with to select a section which is usually between 3 to 5 seconds. Just for some quick cutaway, sort of quick cuts between the frames. That also means that with a lot of soundtracks, with the beat coming through the song or the music, the frames can change quickly on the beat. It works really well. Often it's the first 3 to 5 seconds of that clip that I will use, but you know, it doesn't take very long to just watch back sort of 10 or 15 seconds just to see if there's anything different. For example, I may not have noticed at the time of filming that like a bee flew through or some spider crawled up something. You know, it adds just a little bit, something a little bit different, a bit more visual interest. As I sit here, I'm looking across through the trees and I can see the sun, like the dappled light breaking through, and it's sort of bouncing off a particular tree trunk. It's really nice. So that's a nice sort of detail shot. I would probably shoot that from this position. If I went too wide, it would be lost, but I'd go to the far end of the 80 to 200 and, you know, just shoot a few seconds of that. Now, a lot of you listening to this are first and foremost concerned with stills photography, as am I. But something to bear in mind, well, a couple of things. One, we can all learn, not just from practitioners in the area of expertise that we are primarily using, so in this case, stills photography, how to take still pictures, but different mediums in arts and crafts and all this sort of thing could be literature if you want inspiration. So I watch videos by other people, of course, not just for the content which I find interesting, but because I'm seeking out inspiration, not to necessarily copy ideas, but to think, oh, that was clever, I wonder how I could integrate that into my work. So hopefully for the majority of you, you'll be listening to this thinking, oh, okay, so sort of cutaway shots, details. If you think about it, there is a crossover with film and stills, because if you are, and I've now I've said talked about this in multiple times in the past, photography is all about telling a story, right? So you have the subject, you have the event or the story, you know, but it's the incidental things, the little close-up shots of things, the pictures of the subject or related things sort of in isolation that are relevant. Those shots all add up to, they put the meat on the bone of the story. It's how you tell the story. You lead the viewer through a series of pictures. A bit like, essentially a photo story that you would get in a magazine or a paper. And so if you think about how video works, it's exactly the same thing. You have establishing shots. You have, the viewer can see what's going on. Just watching myself, I've just almost got bumped into by a rather big bumblebee. So you have these overall shots which are nice. There's lots of colour and lots of colour and shapes and all that sort of thing. But then you get these cutaway shots which kind of add interest, whether it is the bluebells on the woodland floor or whether it is looking up to the sky or some pattern on the bark or, like I say, the dappled light breaking through and striking a tree. So hopefully everything I've talked about today, or maybe just one or two little things, have spiked some interest, give you pause for thought, got you thinking. I'm going to just round this off by just going back to the whole video Instagram thing. The podcast goes out regularly, every week, on the same day, same time. If I was to set a day and a time to do a live video, maybe something like a Q&A, something like that, because I know a lot of you really want to ask questions, but we're all the same. We don't like to actually stand up and, put our hand up and sort of, send that email or send that tweet. Or you plan to and then other stuff happens, which is fair enough, and you kind of forget about it or don't get round to it. So the question is, if I was to set a time and a day of the week to do a Q&A, it could maybe just be a 10, 15 minute thing. Is that something that you would be interested in? It could be longer. Start small, early days, all that sort of thing. Is that something that you would tune into? If you're using Instagram, you could just watch it as you're having your lunch or sat on the bus or whatever it might be. Do let me know, because I'm really, more and more and more, you guys know this, I just want to share my knowledge, I use the word passion. It always seems a bit of a cliche, but it is. It's a passion for the outdoors and for photography and telling stories and getting people interested and inspired to do this. I want to do more and more and more of that through various different ways. And there's some other stuff in the pipeline, which I'll tell you about another time. But if I was to do a set day, set time, would you be interested in tuning in for 10 minutes just to ask some questions, just say hi, whatever it might be? Do let me know. And if the feedback is good, then I will see what's going to work out best. If there is a certain day that would work well for you, do let me know. So that, I think, pretty much rounds it off for today. If you have any questions, as ever, about anything I've talked about today, do let me know. For now, I will leave it there. Naturally, I'll be sharing the resulting bluebell video with you shortly. In the meantime, don't forget to let me know your thoughts about how I can use Instagram to share more insights with you. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.